Harper Children's Audio presents The Incorrigible Children of Ashton Place, Book 1, The Mysterious Howling, by Mary Rose Wood, performed by Catherine Kellgren. Copyright 2010 by Mary Rose Wood. Production copyright 2010 by HarperCollins Publishers. The first chapter. One home is forsaken in hopes of finding another. It was not Miss Penelope Lumley's first journey on a train, but it was the first one she had taken alone. As you may know, travelling alone is quite a different kettle of fish from travelling with companions. It tends to make people anxious, especially when en route to a strange place, or a new home, or a job interview, or, as in the case of Miss Lumley, a job interview in a strange place that might very well end up being her new home. She certainly had much to be anxious about. During the journey, her worried thoughts had included the following. Would she arrive at Ashton Place on time for her interview? Or would masked bandits storm the train and take the passengers hostage? She had never personally encountered a bandit, but she had read of such things in books, and the very idea gave her goosebumps. Would she be able to answer correctly should her prospective employers quiz her on, say, the capital cities of mid-sized European nations? The capital of Hungary is Budapest, she had recited in her mind in time to the clickety-clack of the train wheels. The capital of Poland is Warsaw. Would she be served tea and toast upon her arrival? And if she were, would she end up with marmalade all over the front of her dress and run from the room weeping? Clearly, being anxious is a full-time and rather exhausting occupation. Perhaps that explains why Miss Lumley, despite her inability to remember the capital of Norway, and her reluctance to muss her hair by leaning her head against the back of her seat, had finally succumbed to the soothing sway and rumble of the train. For the moment, at least, she had stopped worrying altogether, for she was soundly and deeply asleep. To be more specific, she was lost in a dream of long ago, a dream filled with laughter and black forest cake and sun-dappled meadows that rang with the singing of adorable birds. "Miss! Miss!" The conductor stood in the aisle next to her seat and spoke a bit louder than he normally would in order to be heard over the screechy din of the train's brakes being applied. "Is it the bandits?" Miss Lumley cried, half asleep. "For though unarmed, I will fight!"
"There are no bandits, miss."
The conductor looked rather embarrassed.
"Forgive me for disturbing you, but we are arriving at Ashton Station. May I remove your luggage from the train?"
As a very wise woman, whom we shall soon hear more about, once declared, there is no alarm clock like embarrassment. And by the time the conductor spoke the word luggage, Miss Lumley was far more awake than she wished to be. Had she really said something about bandits? She had seen cats fall clumsily from windowsills and then walk off as if nothing undignified had happened. This, Miss Lumley realized, was her wisest course of action. Best not to mention the bandits ever again.
"You are forgiven," she said as she stood, "and you may."
She followed the conductor down the aisle, staggering from side to side as the train lurched to a stop. The scrubbed-looking youth blushed scarlet as he heaved her trunk and carpet-bag onto the platform.
"I do apologise, miss."
He extended a hand to help her descend the steep metal stair.
"It's only that I didn't want you to miss your stop,
and, as you can see, I have not." She nodded her thanks and then shook her head as if to say, "How ridiculous, meow, to think that I would travel all this way only to miss my stop, meow, meow." But in the end, she offered him a tiny smile, and this was enough to make the young man swell with pride at the fine service he had provided that day. In fact, the competence and dedication of the young conductor would soon come to the attention of his superiors, who would waste no time offering the stalwart fellow a promotion. Over the years, he would work his way up through the ranks and eventually become chief locomotive officer, a position that would render him modestly well-to-do, and a perfectly well-liked chap to all who knew him. But this happy ending, like so many others...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?